Let us have ears to hear, Lord. Whoa. Do you feel like you just ran a marathon? I do. That was interesting. Good fun. I'm so proud of Amanda every year when, you know, she writes it and puts her heart and soul into it. And when it comes together, it is just wonderful. Yeah. The kids, they have such a good time. And we always have somebody giving their lives to the Lord, and just good stuff. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, we were 2 weeks ago up in Haida Gwaii, and had a wonderful time up there. We sent people by land and by sea and by air, taking a bombardment of love with us, and did some delightful things. And part of that, I want Ron and Bonnie to stand up. And Deborah, are you here?
Yes.
Yeah, she's here. There you are. Stay here. Stay here, just for a minute. And Brenda and Atias is gone, isn't he? Yeah. So you saw part of the team last week. This is the rest of the team that went up there. And we prayed for the team that was here last week, just kind of a wash-off, but we want to pray for these ones too. So if you'll join me in that. Thanks, Jesus, that you brought us all home safely, that you did such a wonderful work. Thank you, Lord, for the seed that was sown onto Haida Gwaii, and the faithfulness of the people here in church. Thank you for each of these workers that were so faithful and did so well up there. We bless you for them, and we ask you to just wash off anything that the enemy has intended for evil and pour out good, wonderful blessings upon them in Jesus' lovely name. Amen. Tammy, you were going to do... Yeah, there you are. I can't see anywhere. Just a sec. There's a... you've got it there. Okay.
I just wanted to say, skip through Skidigit. Something fun we did on our trip. I had the privilege of taking the microphone.
Oh, do it.
The day we arrived, we went to a festival at, do you remember the name of the place?
The Kai
Festival. At the K anniversary, Haida Heritage Center. So anyways, I was talking with one of Brenda's lovely cousins, and I looked up and there was this beautiful framed, and it just was perfect. I know God put me there at that moment, at that time. So I took a picture and I made a print of it, and I wanted to give it to the church as a thank you for your support in prayer and your financial support. And Lord also gave me this poem. It's not mine. I didn't write it. It says, "The fragrance always remains in the hand that gives the rose." So thank you, everybody, for contributed.
Way to go. Hallelujah. And part of that, we met, or Ron and Bonnie met before we left. You know, there was a whole bunch of things that came together, like God does all the time. And one of them was that Ron and Bonnie met the hereditary chief of the Haida, and she's with us this morning. It's Mama B. And her husband, Jerry Apinga, are here. So just stand up for everybody to say hi. Wonderful Christian people, lovely, lovely people. We had a prayer time with them, and Jerry is an evangelist, has a tent for 600 people. So if you got room in your backyard, he's ready to preach. A big tent. Hallelujah. What am I forgetting, Lord? Holly's dad is out from the east, and so we're glad to see him. Last time we saw him was at Holly and Dave's wedding, so it's always nice to see people that are visiting. And Brenda Vandell, who stood up a minute ago, she was the one that kind of spearheaded the whole thing for Haida Gwaii, and we just appreciate Brenda, and she's full on Haida, and we are so grateful that she's with us, and we know God's going to be doing good things. So bless you. Yeah, thank you. All right. So y'all doing good? I just love looking out at you. I always get to preach when there's the littlest time. Sam seems to say, "Well, why don't you preach?" And, we're not going to have a full hour to preach. That's it. So I got something I want to share with you, but I have something I want to share with you as well that isn't part of the preach. It's kind of in-house stuff, you know, like what's going on here, just so that everybody's in the know. Because my good friend Alan said, you got to let people know. So I will let you know. Pastor Sam is going to be taking the tip of the spear sometime. We're not sure when now. We were looking at October, but he asked that we just kind of hold off a little bit as we are moving into it, so that Christine and I will continue to be the tip of the spear for a little while longer. I don't know how long that'll be. It's not because I'm trying to manipulate it. I'll give this up in a heartbeat. I've held it that way for 24 years. Anybody that wanted to be the pastor of this church is always welcome to step in. I'll not fight you. But God is doing something just delightful right now. Absolutely wonderful. He's building a body that is, he's doing a good work.
Yes, he is.
A delightful work. Now, a year ago, just under a year ago, we entered the Jewish year 5776. Okay? That's the number of the year in the Jewish calendar. That particular year happens to be the 70th year of Jubilee since they crossed the Jordan River into the Promised Land. Okay? You have to work that out. So the year of Jubilee is 50 years. Every 50 years, there's a year of Jubilee. So we are currently in a year of Jubilee. Okay? This right now, October 2nd of this year, the year of Jubilee ends. Okay? Everybody with me?
Yeah.
I know there's math involved here, so you start to see people's eyes go. In the year of Jubilee, everything gets turned over. So if you had gone into debt, your debts are forgiven. If you everybody likes that one. Our debts are forgiven because Jesus took them on the cross. But there's a financial side to it. If you had land and you entered into an agreement where you sold the land was returned to you. If you had to place yourself in slavery in order to provide for your family, or whatever you did, if you were a slave, you were freed in that year. If you were part of the people of God, the year of Jubilee was an incredible year, and being the 70th year of Jubilee, or 70th anniversary, or whatever it is, you know, that's 3,500 years, 50 times 70. There's a special time this year. But, you know, Nothing ever comes easily. There's always a price to pay. And we declared when we entered this thing that it was going to be a year of Jubilee and there was going to be things happen this year. Now, some things have happened. Some people no longer have mortgages to pay. Yeah, and that has been absolutely wonderful. But we declared it, but there is warfare against it always. You know, God said to the people of Israel, I am going to give you a land flowing with milk and honey, right? The promised land. He forgot to tell the people that were living in the houses that they were going to take that they were to give them to the people of Israel. And these people that had built their houses and planted their gardens and built their cities didn't want to give them up. So there was years of warfare in order for the people of Israel to take the promised land. And there is always a pushback by the enemy as you declare the things of God, as you move into those things,
right,
to see just how serious you are. Are you going to walk away from this thing? Are you going to give up on this thing? Or will you see it through? And so there's always that kind of a feel to it. And I'm often challenged by people that why don't those wonderful things that happened back then, why don't they happen now? Well, we're going through one right now. We're going through something. It's sort of like the time that Elijah was against the prophets of Baal. You remember that story? There were a bunch of prophets and Jezebel and Ahab. They set this thing up and there was a showdown at high noon. And it was Elijah against all these prophets of Baal, and they built an altar and they put an ox on it. And the prophets of Baal were supposed to make a fire. No fire happened. There was nothing really to what they were doing. And then Elijah, it was his turn, and he said, pour water on it. Pour more water on it. Just like douse it. Because he was a man of faith. He was a man of great faith. And then fire came from heaven and burnt the offering. All of the prophets of Baal lost their heads over it. And it was a neat story. Why don't those stories happen today? Well, they sort of do. And let me draw you into a little story here. You know that we lease this place. And it's not a lot, but it's home. And we're so grateful for it. Well, our lease is up September 30th. September 30th, 2 days before Rosh Hashanah, the year of Jubilee ending. Odd coincidence. we haven't had enough money over the course of the summer to pay everything. Right now, I've already taken the offering, so this don't think this is manipulative. I'm not trying to do that. But we haven't had enough to pay salaries. We're more than a month behind in salaries. They haven't been paid for more than a month, and our lease payment was due on the 1st of September, and it's not paid at this point because there isn't money there. You can't pay when there isn't any money. So the sacrifice is there. We're waiting for God to come through. And I believe that he's coming through. I can't tell you how much joy is in my heart at the place we're in. Like, this is a place where I, as a leader, should be in a place of anxiety and worry. But when you're filled with joy, anxiety and worry can't occupy the same space as joy. They kick each other out. And I am very joyful for what's going to happen here. Because either you're going to see an incredible fiery crash, and everybody loves a fiery crash, right? Fiery crash draws a crowd. NASCAR is one of the most one of the most popular sports in America, you know? So either we fail gloriously, or God comes through with a miracle. And we're in that place right now where God has to come through. Now, Christine and I, Sam, we don't have any pension plans. We don't have any plan B. This is it. We're all in. Everything's on the line. And not only that, we poured water on this thing. Because what we should have done as... I was trained as an accountant, right? Everybody understand that? I understand fiscal measures, restraint, cutbacks, all of that stuff. But I've never seen it work in a church where the church recovers from it. And so at the beginning of the summer, we took on interns. And the government said they'll pay part of it. But we've paid their salary all the way through the summer. And not only that, we employed them for more than what the government said that we should have. We're paying them more money for longer period because we want the water to seep in really, really good. Just drench this thing. So at a time when we should be cutting back so that I'm the only one that's on salary and everybody pays me, and you know, you're not going to be served well. And that's just going to postpone the inevitable, where we lay everybody off and we cut back and we, you know, cut down the lights and, you know, everybody's allowed one little thing of toilet paper every Sunday. And you know, all of those kind of, I'm making fun, but, you know, that's our choice. Either you cut back or you put the pedal to the metal and say, Jesus, take the wheel. And that's where we are. It's Jesus take the wheel time. Either he shows up miraculously, or we crash and burn. But remember me as a guy of faith. Faith spelled R-I-S-K. I preach it, and unless you live it, unless you're out there, it has no value. I think that once you like, if I'm to preach about it, it goes forth with power once you've taken that territory. And if I'm not living that, then you can't catch it because it dribbles off my chin and onto the floor. But if I'm living it, if I've taken the territory, then you too can be encouraged and empowered in what we're doing. And that's what it's about. I don't want to lead a bunch of people hypocritically. I want us to be in this together. So you don't have long to join us in this thing. It'll be a month, and less than a month now. But would you join us in not pleading to God, not, oh God, will you show up? I don't want one of those prayers. Please. I want to thank you, God, that you are faithful. You know, we've said it before, but Jehovah Jireh, the whole church worldwide says Jehovah Jireh means the God who provides. You know what? It doesn't mean that. It doesn't mean that. That's a lie. And many in the church, including myself, have preached that. What it really means, literally, is the God who sees. But because he is so good and loves to provide, if he's seen, then he will have provided already. And our God has seen the situation we're in. Our God has seen where we are. And so Jehovah Jireh is going to come through. My life's on the line. My wife's on the line. Everything we have is here. so that we're together in all of this. But we will, come October 1st, be existing and thriving in Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. So, yeah, we're in it. No question. And the water's being poured on the sacrifice. But I think we're going to see fire from heaven. And I think it's going to be absolutely wonderful. And not only for us here, but for us individually as well.
Thank you, Lord.
We haven't seen the miracles that I believe God wants to pour out individually for families in the church here. This is the year of Jubilee. And I believe that He's going to be doing marvelous things in the next little while. There's a clock on this thing. It's not like, oh yeah, well, He'll come through in the sweet by and by. There's a clock on this. I invite you to stay tuned. So join us in thank you, Jesus prayers.
Yes.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Because He's restoring and He's building and He's releasing. And we heard this morning, finances are being poured out. Manna is being poured out. Those things are powerful. We don't orchestrate the songs that we sing, and the songs this morning were God of miracles, you know, heaven touch earth, you know, those kind of things that we so desperately need. So does that make sense to everybody? Can you say something? Uh-oh.
No.
You're in trouble now.
I just want to say that this is not presumption. It's not like Pastor Randy and Pastor Sam have been presumptuous,
and
the elders. But it's been through prayer. And so I know for a fact that Pastor Randy, before a decision is made to pour water on the sacrifice, he has been praying. He asks the Lord specifically. And we have also inquired of some prophets, like that we have known, like Brandon McCauley, and the words we keep getting are keep going. Keep going. So let God be true. Let God be true. And I've already heard, like, there are breakthroughs, but I know that there is a family in the church. They just were given a check of a big amount of money from people that they haven't seen for a long time because God was putting it on their hearts. So God knows how to keep a church alive. And the last thing I want to say is I love this church. We love this church. We love the presence of God. And we love what He leads us to do. And we love the kind of people we get to minister to. And all the ministries that are going on in the church, Jesus shows up. So it is His church. And so that's why we can easily give it to Him.
Hallelujah. So now you know. So that's my way of inviting you to the finish line.
To the beginning.
Because you're gonna see something absolutely wonderful. It's going to be fiery. And there's either going to be a crash or glory coming down. Sam, did you want to say something?
Well, one of the things that I...
Just a sec.
Can we sow a seed? And can you share about sowing seeds? Because one of the things that I know is that throughout Scripture, we've got tithes, we have offerings, and we have seeds.
Yeah.
And you sow a seed where you need a harvest.
Yeah.
And a seed gets sown, and a seed is a very small amount. And then it gets cultivated and tended and fertilized and watered and prayed over. And we've seen that again and again and again throughout Scripture. A very small seed can be planted. And so I know that we would like to sow a seed, and there might be other people here that would like to sow a seed of faith for that harvest. And so can we?
Yeah, we can. Now, I appreciate what Sam's saying, because it is a biblical principle. We believe fully in it. I asked you to sow into Haida Gwaii, and many people did, and Tammy was up here to say thank you for that. Who's in the... Jerry, could you go and get two offering bags and just put them on the back table there? Would you do that? Thank you. If you want to sow a seed, just quietly do it. You don't sow seed with fanfare. You harvest with fanfare, right? You sow a seed in faith. And so there'll be two bags at the back. There's envelopes back there. You can sow your seed there if it's on your heart. The whole idea of sharing this was just so that we could, you know, the family would see, and you know, we could rejoice together when the miracle happens. But sowing seed is great, and many of you have sown into this many times, and you'll be getting the reward. We have, as a church, refused to stop sowing during this time of not enough. You know, who was it that sowed in a year of famine and received a hundredfold return?
Yeah.
You know, Benjamin was no, I forget. Anyway. We believe fully in that, and we live by it, and we'll either live or die by it. But I believe we will live.
Amen.
And I believe that we're in the lion's den, and we're praying that the lions are on a Daniel fast. it's just that simple. So it. There's bags at the back if you want. Million is with two L's, just so you know. Let me take you somewhere. you can. This is my preach, so, and I have maybe 15 minutes. So, yeah. Well, that's a sharing thing. So it's like tithes and offerings are all different. But Ezekiel 8. You can go there if you want. In my reading, I was taken to this this week, and just struck me like a 2x4 across the head. It was so powerful to me. Now, I hope it is to you too. You know what the temple is. You know that there was the tabernacle in the wilderness, and the tabernacle in the wilderness became Solomon's temple. And then the temple was rebuilt at a time. David's tabernacle was in there too, but you know, just follow this train if you would. The temple was always important, and the New Testament says that the temple of God exists today. In Jerusalem, the Sanhedrin has appointed a high priest, apparently, and they're ready to make the sacrifice for the new temple today. Never since Titus rode his horse into the Holy of Holies has there been a place where Israel was ready to sacrifice again. But today, everything is in place for them to sacrifice there again. Now, we know that there is no need for sacrifice, that the sacrifice to end all sacrifices was Jesus Christ. And so it's an abomination for them to do that. And that's a whole lot of teaching that I haven't got time for today. But it's an amazing story. The New Testament says the temple of Jesus is your heart, right? His new temple, the place where God resides on earth, is in your heart. He thought that up, his very own self, and he's living it today. The temple is in you, right? So you catch that. So Ezekiel, a prophet and an amazing man, was taken by God to a place, to the temple. Ezekiel 8, verse 7. And let me read it. And he brought me to the entrance of the court. The court is in the temple. And when I looked, behold, there was a hole in the wall. And he said to me, Son of man, dig in the wall. So I dug in the wall. I love his obedience. You know, that's the obedience you need. So I dug in the wall, and behold, there was an entrance. And he said to me, go in and see the vile abominations that they are committing here. So I went in and saw. And there, engraved on the wall all around, was every form of creeping things and loathsome beasts and all the idols of the house of Israel. And before them stood 70 men of the elders of the house of Israel with Jezaniah, interesting name, eh? With Jezaniah, the son of Shaphan, standing among them. That's a whole different story. But each had his censer in his hand. That's the holy smoke thing. His censer in his hand, and the smoke of the cloud of incense went up, which is, we know, prayers, right? Then he said to me, Son of man, have you seen what the elders of the house of Israel are doing? In the dark, each in his own room of pictures. Now see your heart here. The temple of the Holy Spirit. Are there pictures on the walls of your heart that should not be there? He said, each, the elders of the house of Israel are doing in the dark, each in his room of pictures. For they say, the Lord does not see us. And the Lord has forsaken the land. Oh. We get into a place where we think the Lord is overlooking what we're doing, that he's not really paying attention, that he's an old guy and maybe he doesn't see as well as he used to, or he loves me really special and so he's putting up with what I do. But kid yourself not, he sees everything. Jehovah Jireh is the God who sees. And he has provided because he is so good, and if he's seen it, he's provided. On the walls of your heart, in the dark, what idols, what pictures, what things have we been putting up there that don't belong there? I believe it's a day when God is saying, rid yourself of that stuff, my beloved. You don't need that. I am what you need. We have found alternates to our God. Money, romance, pornography, ambition, vehicles, houses. I know many people whose houses are their idols. And they decorate them like they're something else. I have no problem with decorating your house, but when it becomes an idol, and only you and God know the difference. So what is decorating the walls of your heart? What have you put up there that shouldn't be there? The temple in Ezekiel's day was desecrated. And I think the temple of our hearts, for many of us, has been desecrated as well. God is calling us to Him. He's saying, you want so much from me. I see. I see. He's dealt with sin, but that doesn't mean that we have an open offering to sin. The idea is that we live outside of that sinful way. The idea is that we live like people who know our God, not like people who know our world and hope that God doesn't see what we're doing secretly in the dark. Now, I'm not pointing any fingers, but when I was reading this and praying the other morning, I saw faces of people and what they're doing go before me. And I pray for you all the time. So God shares His heart with me sometimes. And I'm really concerned. But I know that God wants to make an exchange. He always has something better for us. Right? Beauty for ashes. Oil of joy for mourning. His idea is not to beat us up with this thing. It's just to show it and say, here, will you let go of that and take hold of what I have for you? Because you can't hold both of them at the same time. He's wanting to show His great love for us. And He's wanting to pour Himself out for us. Now, I'm not trying to tie this to our financial situation in the church. I'm talking to each individual here. They're two separate situations. Don't tie them together. I'm talking to you. Put your name in there. God wants to make the exchange because He is so good. How does He make that exchange? Like, I try to be practical, right? You know that about me. I've got 5 minutes. Okay. We've been thinking about the wrong things. You need to have another think. Which is what repentance is, right? You need to think about that again. Turn around and walk toward God in it. So He says to us, I was going to explain this a little deeper, but take every thought captive. You want to move ahead with God? You can't move ahead with God with the thoughts you currently have. You can't move ahead with your current thought processes because the secret of sailing a ship is to keep the water on the outside and the air on the inside. It's not real, you know, it's not rocket science. When too much of the water gets in, the boat goes down. And many of us, Jesus, have taken on too much of worldly water. And we live more in the world than we do in the Spirit, expecting that we will someday, Jesus will come and tap us on the shoulder with His magic wand and everything will be fine and it'll all be good. It's not going to be that way. He wants us to work with Him on this stuff. So He says, take captive each thought. He says in Isaiah 55 verse 9, my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. But you know what? He wants to take us to that place. He's also given us the mind of Christ. Right? So we have access to all of that stuff. And if we will just make the exchange and begin to work on taking these thoughts captive for God, Do some homework. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 5 is take each thought captive. Read the passage around that and understand that it's for us today. We need to take the thoughts captive for the glory of God. What do we think on then? Well, he tells us. He tells us, think on these things. In Philippians 4, verse 8, whatsoever things are pure and lovely and of good report. I remember being so impacted when Christine and I watched Gone with the Wind on a great big screen. I'd always watched it on a 26 or a 19-inch TV screen. And those of you that are under 30 wouldn't understand that. But I watched it on a big screen, and some of the characters came alive to me that I'd lost in the little picture. One of them was Melanie, the wonder of who she was. And Rhett Butler said about her, and I'm going back a ways, so help me. He said to Scarlett, who had just gone into the party in her red dress and been just a mess, he said about Melanie, because Melanie welcomed her and blessed her and showed her around, he said, well, Melanie's heart is so full of honor that she cannot conceive of dishonor in anyone. That's our goal. To be so full of the things of God that we can't even take ourselves to the place of, oh, that person's an idiot. That doesn't exist to us because it doesn't exist to our God. There is no place for dishonor because we can't conceive of it. And so when I go to my grave, if you think, that guy was so naive, he believed the best in all of these decrepit people, then I'll be a happy man. I hope you think I'm naive. I hope you think that I have unfailing faith in spite of what I see. Because I'm a really practical man, and I can see things. But what we want to do is as 1 Corinthians 14:1 says, pursue love. That's where we're to go.
Praise God.
That's what we're to do.
Yes.
Think on these things, whatsoever things are pure and lovely and of good report. And you know, we have been given it. When are we going to actually believe that this thing is telling us the truth? Because we live our lives like we don't believe it. We can spout it. We can quote the scriptures. But when God looks on the walls of our heart, he doesn't see the love and the kindness and the gentleness and the honor for people that he should be seeing in his temple. And that's my story, and I'm sticking to it. So, worship team, can we have you come on up here? And now we're going to prepare for communion. We'll invite the kids back up, and they'll rejoin us, and we'll have couples at the head of each of the four aisles. You come forward and take it, and then we'll everybody go back to your seats, and we'll consume the elements together. Okay, that clear? Okay, and we'll worship around that. So, bless you. I didn't want to beat you up today. So know that there is more than just hope on the line here. God is in the exchange business, and he wants to exchange what you know you shouldn't be in for something absolutely wonderful. I mean, you're going to feel so much better about your life. It's going to be wonderful. Anyway, bless the Lord.